Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The game on lock for sure.
You made a gesture as you were going off for the first time.
Yeah, to J.R. Smith to meet me in the back.
Okay.
That's what it looks like. Told him to come back to the back. You know what I'm saying? All that on the court. We can handle that off the court. I ain't with that. And that's on my mama. May she rest in peace. Ain't no punk right here. Man, on my mama, may she rest in peace. That dead. So, whatever happened. JR know where I'm at. Everybody know where I'm at. It is what it is.
Welcome into another edition of Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, if you want to join us at 617-779-0985. Got Joe Murray alongside as well, because there's something else gambling-related with the Celtics I want to touch on with Joe in a moment. But that is the sound of Marcus Smart at the end of the last preseason game against Cleveland last Saturday. Not obviously, look, there's not a lot to talk about with this team right now as we're getting ready for the regular season to tip off on Tuesday at TD Garden. And we're going to be out there, by the way. The Felger and Mass show is going to be broadcasting from Hurricanes right outside the garden. So come join us and hang out. And it's going to be a hell of a night. Obviously, a lot of good stuff going on around here sports-wise in the city of Boston. But I wanted to touch on this. Marcus Smart in this game with about three and change left in the first quarter. Scuffle breaks out between the Celtics and the Cavaliers, and it results in the ejection of Marcus Smart. He gets into it with J.R. Smith, and that sound is after the game when he's asked about it, getting into this thing with J.R. Smith. And you hear him getting emotional, and I heard this, and, well, having lived through a situation that Marcus Smart has unfortunately gone through, lost his mom at, he's 24 years old, right? So I unfortunately, at the same age, dealt with the same thing. And as a young man, you really don't know how to deal with those kind of emotions. It's obviously a horrible thing that he's dealing with. And I think you hear the emotion in his voice there talking about it. He's smacking his hands together. You hear him getting worked up. I know where he's coming from in terms of not knowing what to do with a lot of bad feelings. And the reason I wanted to talk about this was, Chris, I just think this could be a bad sign going forward. Obviously, we know he plays with a lot of emotion. That's one of the best attributes about Marcus Smart. One of the, he's like a dirt dog. He'll dive for balls. He is the heart and soul of a lot of the toughness that comes with this Celtics team. But you got to know how to harness that energy and those feelings. And a young man losing his mom like that, and you obviously know how much he means to her, and he's talked about it. He's been open about it with social media. I hope the team is getting him help, or at least has recommended some therapy for him or something, because this could potentially be an issue. In that, I just thought it was, I felt for him. More than anything else, I felt for the kid, but it could be a bad sign for them in terms of his emotions and his fighting. I don't know. You hear that and you see how this whole thing went down last Saturday. Do you think it's a bad sign going forward for Marcus Smart this year? What they might be dealing with. What he's dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, if I were going to, pinpoint, two guys who are sort of volatile and could get into a fracas in a preseason game, J.R. Smith and Marcus Smart would be right at the top of the list. My concern would be, moving forward, will other teams and other players try and bait Marcus Smart into scenarios where he maybe loses his temper, loses his cool, and is not available to the Celtics? And that's sort of my concern from that point. I think there's a lot of similarities in the way these guys, between Marcus Smart and Brad Marchand, in terms of they need that emotion. It fuels their game. It's a good thing.
Yeah, they play on an edge. Sometimes they go over it. I like that.
But you need to have that fire, right? But that fire can become a full-on conflagration, and you can't control it. And now it's out of control, and it's just burning down everything. And that's, I think, the line that Marcus Smart is going to have to walk. And, this could be a challenging season for Marcus Smart. Obviously, everything you mentioned off the court, that's number one. Thoughts and prayers there, hard for anybody to deal with. But this year, what's his role going to be? And he's coming off a tumultuous offseason. And from a basketball standpoint, where it sort of felt like, in his mind, I think he felt like the Celtics maybe didn't want him at first. And then obviously it all worked out in the end. But how much playing time is he going to get? What's his role going to be? I mean, you already have Brad Stevens talking about trying to find playing time for Terry Rozier.
Right.
We know what the starting five is. Chris Forsberg, our buddy, the Newport five, we know what that's going to be. And you have the whole bench with attitude thing, but Marcus Morris is going to get his playing time and his shots. Terry Rozier has to play. Smart's going to play, but what's the role going to be? And will he be in there at the end of games? So there's going to be a lot going on for him this year, and it could be a challenge more from a mental standpoint than anything else for him this season.
Well, so obviously with the devastating loss he has to deal with, but that's, I'm glad you brought that other thing up too. Like, it's the minutes. Now he has this new deal. Does he feel like he has to live up to that? Is he going to get upset if he's not getting enough time? And so not only does he have to deal with this, I think this is going to be part of the challenge for Brad Stevens this year. And now that you have Gordon Hayward back, it's like, how does he manage these personalities? How does he manage stuff like that's going on in the personal life of players like Marcus Smart? And so that's going to be a challenge. So overall, as the season tips off on Tuesday, you know, the expectations are enormous, and we're going to play in this hour. There is a former player and now NBA talking head that is picking them to beat the Warriors and win the championship this year. Do you think the expectations are so lofty that it's going to be difficult for them to live up to them? Because, you know, look, I think that they should be in the finals and have a competitive series with the Golden State Warriors. It just almost feels like in a lot of ways the only way they can go is down.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. You know, they haven't normally had to deal with expectations like this. There were a lot of expectations, I think, last year, but then Gordon Hayward goes down and everything sort of got reframed for them. And then in the playoffs, there were basically no expectations. And they went all the way to Game 7 at the Eastern Conference Final, had it in their building, had a really great opportunity to go to the NBA Finals. It didn't work out. So this is a little bit different, where I think this, the difference here, and I've said this before, since Brad Stevens has been here and you had LeBron in the East or whatever, so initially it's a rebuild, and then like you're sort of the scrappy underdogs with the Jay Crowders and the Isaiah Thomas, and then even when you get Kyrie and Gordon Hayward before Hayward goes down, it's like, well, you know, they're still chasing LeBron. The Celtics now are the hunted. They're not the hunters. And I'll be interested to see how they respond to that psychologically.
Yeah, it is, you know, look, I mean, the hype has been, you know, out of control here locally, but even nationally now, I mean, you have Jason Tatum on the cover of Slam Magazine this week. You know, they're getting a lot of love nationally from a lot of talking heads and those that cover the league. So big expectations for the Celtics this year. Joe Murray, want to bring you back in here with something gambling related with the Celtics, because this popped up yesterday. Odd Shark on Twitter, they tweet out, will Kyrie Irving be dealt before the NBA trade deadline this season? Yes, minus 200, a probability of 66.7%. What does Vegas know that we don't?
I don't know. Bet My Bookie is the one taking this, you know, taking this bet. So, I mean, he already announced he's coming back. If he goes against that, that's not a good look.
Well, yeah, but the words he used were, "I plan to come back. I intend to come back." There's a little wiggle room there, Joe.
There is certainly. I mean, I would take the no. The value on that play is the no. But again, you know, they might be looking to move on from him and bring somebody else in. I think they could build around him. But as far as this bet goes, Bet My Bookie's taking it. I would hammer the no. But again, we know Kyrie Irving's background, right? I mean, he's always somewhat been a flake.
Sure.
His whole entire career, going back to college and even Duke. So who knows? You know, if you want to, but again, I would not take the yes on that one by any means. There's no value in it.
But that being even on the board, is that, do you think that I don't know, GMs throughout the league outside of Boston don't believe him? Is that really, is that simple?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. And the Kevin Durant thing's probably still on the table in New York.
Right.
Who knows what's going on with Jimmy Butler right now? There's been talks about them all wanting to play together. So, yeah, I mean, this is probably something that's going to be discussed all year. So, when are you going to sign that contract, Kyrie? When's that going to happen? This thing's going to be running all season long.
All right. So, we're off and running here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. So, the Marcus Smart fighting last Saturday against the Cavs. I'm wondering if you guys think that might be a bad sign going forward. A lot of emotion in that young man. And for the most part, that's been good. But it seems like it's bubbling over, and we haven't even tipped off the regular season yet. So 617-779-0985, you want to join us. Terry Rozier sounded like he was going to sign an extension. Now, not. I want to get some insight on that from Adam Himmelsbach, who works at the Boston Globe with Chris Casper. We'll talk to him next here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Rozier gets the dribble back. Knocks down the jumper.
They had a great ball movement that time, and Baines helped Rozier get open.
So the Celtics and point guard Terry Rozier not coming to an agreement on a contract extension prior to Monday's deadline. That was first reported by Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe that this fell through yesterday. He joins us here on the Sports Hub Celtics show, 98.5 Sports Hub. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, and you, and Adam Himmelsbach here on the Expert Hotline. Adam, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. So what happened here? And does this kind of all but assure that this is going to be Terry Rozier's last season with the Celtics and, you know, he's going to make a mountain of money somewhere else next year?
Yeah, I mean, some people were kind of upset by this yesterday. Like, oh, why didn't that work? There was really almost never a time it was going to work. You know, the Celtics are going to have some casual conversations. It was never to the point where it was something serious. It just doesn't make sense for Terry to do right now, particularly after the year he finished up with last year, especially with Kyrie Irving being here now and now kind of being verbally committed to the long term. You know, Terry's shown he's an NBA starting point guard, or at least deserves a chance to be one. He's 24 years old, so to kind of lock himself in as a backup right now on an extension would not have been the smartest thing. But I don't think it necessarily means he's done here. You know, a lot can happen this year. Look, like Kyrie hasn't signed anything, right? Like, right. You know, who knows? Crazier things have happened. Things could go poorly. Something come up. Kyrie goes elsewhere. All of a sudden, it's Terry's team. You know, they could find a way to, you know, make it work with Terry and Kyrie. If Terry just has, like, a monster year and they say, all right, like, let's find a way to make Terry Rozier, whatever, our two guard. You know, that's unlikely because you got Jaylen Brown playing there. But I just don't necessarily think it means he's done here. I just think it makes the most sense, really, for both parties to kind of figure out till the summer.
So you said till the summer, Adam. Is there any sort of scenario you see where they look at it and say, okay, you know, Terry's an RFA, but we're probably not going to match the deal he's going to get, and they'd move him during the year just to try and get something back? Or is he just more valuable as Kyrie insurance, which is sort of my thought?
Yeah, that's certainly possible. If they really, you know, and you know, look, the Celtics do as good a job as anyone is kind of doing their due diligence and deciding, look, once the season ends, he's probably, you know, based on the year he's having, you know, where we're looking right now, we're probably not going to be matching a massive, whatever, $20 million a year contract. Let's try to get something in return. The other side of this is you got to remember, like Wick Grisbeck told us the other night, kind of living in the now, right? So this team right now is probably going to the NBA Finals and is thinking about winning a championship. So if you trade him in February for a couple of draft picks or something, you're losing a pretty important piece of the player that's trying to win you a title right now.
Adam, I want to ask you what we open up the show with, talking about Marcus Smart and his ejection last week in the final preseason game against Cleveland. Obviously, a lot going on in his personal life with the loss of his mother. And the guy's obviously played with a lot of emotion in his game. That's one of his best attributes. But with everything going on in his life, you know, do you think that that's maybe a bad sign going forward, especially if he doesn't get some help, you know, off the court, talks to a therapist? Is that a bad sign, you know, going forward for Marcus Smart this year, and that, you know, at least in terms of personality and what he's going through, that Brad Stevens might have his handful with the player this year?
Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily it's a bad sign. You know, Marcus has been through a ton in his life, you know, leading up to this point, that's kind of shaped him. It's kind of a lot of it, he'll tell you, it's kind of helped him grow as a person. The experience he's been through, he's seen a lot of things when not a lot of people have seen, but there's no question, you know, he was really, really close to his mother, and you know, anybody who's lost a parent, it's going to be really difficult to get through that, and he didn't really have time, you know, like, to really, I think, grieve properly almost.
Yeah.
You know, this all happened, she was ill when he was going through his contract stuff, which was pretty stressful on him in July, and then she passed away, and all of a sudden the season's starting. You know, that's why you saw him miss one of those preseason games, kind of spend some extra time with his family. But he has said, and he said the court is kind of his one place where he feels comfortable again. And Brad Stevens has said that a couple of times too. He can tell when Marcus is between the lines, that's his escape. It's a place he kind of can get away from the things he's kind of feeling and thinking about. So I think he'll be okay during the season.
Yeah, Adam, you had a story the other day from the Shamrock Gala, and it sounds like you spoke, or the media spoke, with Wick Grisbeck, and he was talking about, you know, Kyrie Irving's proclamation that he intends to resign here. And there's a line in your story where it says, Grisbeck pointed out that Irving's proclamation is not binding. And also there's a quote here where he says, I'm really honored that he'll plan on considering us next summer. Are the Celtics as an organization sort of in the back of their mind saying, hey, you know, there's a 10%, 15% chance here that by the time we get to, you know, the 1st of July, Kyrie's going to go in a different direction, even though he's publicly proclaimed he's going to resign here or intends to resign here?
Yeah, I don't think they have any concern at all internally about that. I think it's more logistics. Like, okay, technically, he can't really, you know, sign, you know, now. He has to opt out of his contract.
To get his money.
And there will be some, you know, there might be some negotiations in the length of the contract or something like that. But I think it's more of a logistics type of thing. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, stuff changes quickly. Like I said to people, if you'd said to me a year ago, hey, they're about to trade Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving, I would be like, there's no chance that's happening. You know, literally no chance. And of course that happened. But I don't think Wick saying that, and you'll hear Danny say it similarly over the course of the next year when he's asked about it. But I don't think that's any indication that they're worried about it. I think it's no more just because it's true.
And just as a follow-up to that, so do you feel like if it were any player, you know, like if Gordon Hayward were in that situation, I know he's not because his contract's different, would they say the same thing, or is it sort of just because it's Kyrie that you're sort of getting at least that public statement about? And I know you're saying it doesn't matter, but that public statement where it seems like there's a little bit of an opening or a hedge there.
Yeah, they probably would. It's pretty unusual, really, for a situation like this, for a guy who's going to be in line to basically get a 5-year max if he wants, a full year ahead, just coming out and be like, all right, I'm going to be doing that, you know? So there isn't a whole lot of precedent for it. I think particularly with ownership and with Wick, like, they just don't want to say something they're not supposed to say at this point. Kyrie can say whatever he wants, but the Celtics are leery of saying things that they're not allowed to say.
Talking to Adam Himmelsbach, covers the Celtics for the Boston Globe here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. So, Adam, nothing's assured until the ink is dry with Kyrie, obviously. But if he does stay, you wrote last week in your 5 thoughts about this announcement that you think he's kind of found like an inner peace in a way. And that one of the things that contributes to that is the new practice facility, for real?
Yeah, I had a couple of people tell me that. Like, you know, what's really struck me, we went to availability with Kyrie at the Boston Harbor Hotel, and I guess it was late June. It was right before Uncle Drew came out. And, of course, we asked him a little bit about this upcoming summer and the year. And like, not only did he not say, like, yeah, I want to be back with the Celtics, he didn't even go, like, that mid-range where guys typically do. They say, look, you know, I'm really happy here in Boston. Of course, I hope it works out, but I don't know. You know, I'm going to be a free agent. I'm going to have to look at my options, which is a fair answer. But he wouldn't even go that far to kind of throw Boston that early bone. And that kind of struck us. And we were like, what? Like, why wouldn't he at least say that part? That's, I think, got some of the buzz going about maybe he does want to leave. Maybe he does want to leave. But then he comes back and he's like this new Kyrie now. Like, he's super, super happy. He's in a good mood. Like, he's more jovial with the press. He's more open to talking to us. He's more comfortable with his teammates, it appears, like just interacting with them. And I asked a couple of people, like, what changed? And part of it is just he's had time to get away. You know, part of it is he's recovered now and he's feeling healthy again for the first time in a while. Part of it is the LeBron cloud is gone. And one extra thing two people tossed into me was, like, he saw this facility and was like, man, this is actually, like, a cool place. I enjoy being here. I enjoy spending my time here. So I think, you know, it certainly wasn't, like, the reason he made this proclamation, but it seems like something that factored in a little bit.
It is a significant upgrade over Waltham, no?
I mean, anything, like, Gasper, anything, like, you built would be an upgrade over Waltham. No offense to Waltham.
Yeah.
BSC, but, like... Yeah, it was basically like a high school gym. It was honestly like it was embarrassing, I think, for you know, a top NBA franchise to have as their practice facility. But the new place is really spectacular.
Adam, any concerns at all with Gordon Hayward's back? I mean, is that just because he hasn't played basketball for, you know, consistently for a while, or he mentioned sort of it's something he had dealt with before, you know, even before the injury?
Yeah, it's hard to say, like, what he's feeling. I don't get the sense there's really any concern about his back in particular. I am curious to see, though. You know, it's been just a few preseason games, and obviously he's a lot of rust to knock off, but he certainly hasn't looked like himself. Like, Kyrie almost instantly came back, like, all right, that looks like Kyrie again. Like, it looks exactly like the player, maybe even better than the player we saw before. Gordon will tell you, he's not himself yet, and I think he was hoping he would be, but he told us actually yesterday, he said that second surgery really kind of knocked him back a bit. It just slowed his progress and kind of stalled him. And he felt like if he hadn't had to do that right now, he would be, you know, close to 100%. So it's just a matter of knowing how long that'll take. Like, who knows? He might come out on Tuesday and look like old Gordon again, because it'll be the first time we've seen him play a game in whatever, 10 days or 2 weeks even. Or it might take a month. It might take 2 months. You know, that's the one thing that's going to be hard to say. It's, in addition to coming back from this injury, which is significant, it's the fact that he just hasn't played basketball in a year.
Adam Himmelsbach covers the Celtics for the Boston Globe. Thanks for taking the time here on the Sports Hub Celtics show this afternoon.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Congrats on the show, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. And we'll talk to you again throughout the season. Again, read him in the Boston Globe. Coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Joe Murray, one former player turned NBA talking head is picking your Boston Celtics to beat the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. You can find out who that is. And we'll talk to the voice of the Boston Celtics, Sean Grandy, right after this here in the Sports Hub Celtics show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To me, and I'm going to announce this on our show today, I have the Celtics winning the championship in 2019. I'm raising
this,
the band.
Wait a minute. This coming June.
2018, 2019, my championship team is the Boston Celtics.
You don't think the Warriors are going to win the title this year?
I mean, how many times you want me to say it?
I want to make sure.
You know, my pick for this year, is Boston Celtics.
So you think they're ready now? You don't think the train is coming later? You think it is on time right now?
I think they're ready now.
Wow.
That's Tracy McGrady, player turned NBA talking head, saying on ESPN's The Jump this week, he's picking the Celtics to win the championship this season. Yes, this season. A lot of high expectations for this year's Celtics team, rightfully so. Joining us here on the Sports Hub Celtics show, the voice of the Celtics, which you can hear on 98.5 of Sports Hub, Sean Grandy. Good afternoon, Sean. A championship this year. Is Tracy McGrady right to think this, or do you think that's too lofty of an expectation?
How many players did the old ex-players did you have to find before you found one that picked the Celtics? That's kind of like you can do whatever, fun with statistics. Like, let's find one person who said it out of 99. I think isn't the beauty of today and opening night and what has been building up for the last few months the fact that you can say that and it's not the craziest thing in the world. You're in the conversation, and that's the beauty of it. Obviously, Golden State is the team to beat, but I think as we learned 5 minutes into last year, that will forever be a reminder that whatever it is we think we know right now will not only change by the end of the year, it might change by the end of the week.
Right.
So I always say that going into the start of the year, but how many teams at the start of a season have a legitimate chance to win the championship? That's the issue with the NBA right now. It's very, very few. And you're at a point now where the Boston Celtics are one of those teams.
Sean, how does Brad Stevens handle reintegrating Gordon Hayward into this team? You mentioned, things can change. A lot has changed since the last time he suited up in a game that counted for the Celtics in terms of the emergence of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's continued growth. How does Brad sort of balance that at that position?
I think it's going to be tough, Chris. I really do. I think it's one of the biggest challenges he has because it's not like you're reinserting Gordon Hayward from 12 months ago and the Gordon Hayward that we've come to know in the NBA. He's going to be that guy again. I just don't think anybody knows when that's going to be. Is it going to be in 2 months? Is it going to be in 3 months? Is it going to be in 2 weeks? We don't know. So in the meantime, when you've got potential all-star players playing those wing positions, you have to balance not only whose minutes are you taking away, whose touches are you taking away. And the bigger issue to me is those guys playing together, getting into a rhythm, playing together, all the while managing a potential limited minute situation for Gordon early on. It's a big thing to deal with, by the way. What no one's really talking about is that the Celtics schedule, the first 16 games, is kind of rough. It's 11 out of 16 on the road. If you follow the NBA closely, these teams may not have the biggest sex appeal. Indiana, Denver, OKC, Utah, but these are all road games the Celtics have in the first 16. So if the Celtics get through these first 16 games and they win 10, 9, or 10 of these 16, I think they're going to be in really good shape.
Talking to Sean Grandy, the voice of the Celtics, of course, you can hear along with Cedric Maxwell here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So there's been so much going on, Sean, obviously, with the Red Sox and the Patriots and everything, like preseason. I don't know how many eyes or ears are on some of the preseason stuff, but what has stood out to you both positively and negatively that you've seen with this team so far?
I think Max only had one eye on a lot of the games they went on. Obviously the Celtics did not have a good first season, and that it's interesting that nobody was really paying attention, because if nothing else was going on, if the Red Sox had finished 30 games out, the Patriots weren't the Patriots, and people were so geared up for the season as they are, they were literally licking their lips waiting for these preseason games and then watching closely, I think there'd be a lot more concern right now, because they did not look good. The company line, and it may very well be true, is that they've been much better off behind closed doors and in practice than they played in the games. But I think the games underscored a lot of the concerns, but one you already mentioned about Gordon sort of integrating himself back into the lineup and how guys are going to fit together. Plus, you know, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford are arguably your two best players a lot of the time, and they played together for what, 15 minutes maybe in the entire preseason. So there's not a lot to gauge, but what we saw looked a little disjointed. But maybe when we look back on it, it won't be the worst thing that a team that has been a young team that's been hearing about how great they are all year got a little humble pie in, you know, very early.
Yeah, you mentioned that, Sean, you know, in terms of a young team that has been getting a lot of hype, obviously. And this is a little bit different for me for the Celtics. I think they've always sort of been the underdog. Even last year after Hayward went down, I think the expectations for what they could accomplish dropped significantly. And so my question there is, how does Brad Stevens sort of handle that? This is really the first time he's had to coach a team where that outside noise of you guys are great and we expect you to be great and you can just roll the basketballs out there and win. He hasn't really had that before. He's had a lot of guys who had chips on their shoulder and something to prove, or teams that were doubted.
I think he turns that, you know, that's our noise. That's the noise we make. And I don't think that affects Brad Stevens as much as the real issues of the playing time issues and the backlog of minutes. All that stuff is great. If you're 28-9, no one's going to be complaining, really, about minutes and everything's going well. It's if you don't get off to a good start. It's that things look worse. When you look at those preseason games, pretend they actually meant something, and you had those performances, that's when things get underscored. And, we don't know because, as you said, he hasn't had to deal with it. I thought in some ways, you know, his biggest challenge was that first year, because not only were the Celtics bad, there was the illusion that when you have a rebuilding situation that you have a young team. That was not a young team his first year. This is a much younger team that he has now in terms of the guys that are playing. That team had Gerald Wallace and Chris Humphreys and Brandon Bass. They had veterans who'd been around. And the worst situation any coach will tell you in the NBA is having a bad team with veterans who already have their place or have, you know, the kind of their set their place in the league. That's when things can really go south. So that was a significant challenge. I think some of the external stuff going away, this would be a lot worse if Kyrie did make his little announcement last week. If the Marcus Smart situation was still up in the air, there are a lot of potential fires that could have made the situation you're talking about worse that have already been put out.
Talking to Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics. Were you surprised that Kyrie made that announcement?
I'll say to some degree, yes, but really in the big picture, nothing Kyrie does surprises me. I think this is just a different breed of cat in every way, and I love it. One of the best things about this team, and I kind of stumbled on this during one of the preseason games we were talking about, is that you could legitimately go into that locker room, have a 45-minute conversation with almost anybody, and not mention basketball. And Kyrie is kind of the poster child for that. But he is smart enough to know he understands this game. He's been playing this game, and I mean, you know, the media NBA superstar game for a lot of years at a very high level, and he understood what was at stake and what was going to happen. It's funny, it's both one of the flaws and maybe the brilliance of the collective bargaining agreement, the way it's set up, that the Celtics can't sign Kyrie right now. Because on the one hand, it's flawed in that you say, here's a player who wants to be here and a team that wants him. Why can't they just do the deal? It doesn't make sense. On the other hand, it inadvertently, unless it was really devious, advertently creates this situation where all the teams around it creates this, you know, this 24-hour, 365-day-a-year news cycle that the NBA has become, where you could talk about, you know, think about the Kyrie Knicks stories. You're playing the Knicks in the third game of the year. You go into New York. All of this stuff going on all year with Kyrie. Look at the drama right now for a team in a market that most people have ignored for their entire existence, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and now it's constant soap opera, daily drama every day because of this Jimmy Butler thing. Think about what was taken off the table by Kyrie doing that, regardless of what actually happens a year from now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point there. And I think it's something that helps the Celtics sort of moving forward. Sean, I know we're not going to put a lot of stock, or at least the Celtics aren't putting a lot of stock in these preseason performances. But one thing that sort of stood out to me was the three-point shooting, which I think is something that should really be a strength of this team. Do you think once the regular season starts that they'll be fine on that? Or during the course of the year, will Danny Ainge have to go out and maybe find just that one guy off the bench who just sort of is a spot-up shooter?
I think it's something you look at. Remember, this is one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league last year, you know, and that has a lot. It was a combination of both good shooters. I think Tatum was a big part of that because that was, when you look at his NBA draft profile, it's like, won't be able to shoot the three in the NBA. And then for a long portion of last year, he was literally leading the league at 19 years old in three-point shooting. So, you know, with, you know, Gordon Hayward in theory coming back to form, with Kyrie hopefully playing more than 60 games that he did last year, you know, Al Horford finished in the top 10 last year. So it should be a good three-point shooting team. I think everybody, I understand how scarred everyone is by Game 7 last year.
Yeah.
But I think that's almost what people are carrying. You have Game 7 in the preseason that you're carrying into the regular season as this concern about three-point shooting, ignoring the 90-something games that came before it, in which the Celtics and Golden State went back and forth. You know, the Golden State ran away with it last year, but the Celtics were, you know, top three all year in three-point shooting.
So you mentioned how difficult or potentially difficult this early season schedule can be for the Celtics, Sean, and they tip off with the 76ers on Tuesday night to start this season. Are they the biggest challenge in the East, or is there other teams we might be overlooking here?
I go Toronto as the, you know, first of all, Toronto's the defending champion in the regular season, so, and they added a potential, you know, I don't really know exactly where I stand on the Kawhi Leonard argument, just to be, I guess, as, you know, contrarian as I like to be, when people will bring up the fact that Kawhi Leonard 2 years ago was one of the top five players in the NBA, and he was, so was Isaiah Thomas. And last year, not so much.
Yeah.
Now, Kawhi is not going to go through something similar, still a very good player, and I think I can't go so far as saying Toronto's the team to beat. I think it's fair to say the Celtics are the team to beat in the East, but Toronto to me is right there. Philadelphia, I'm leaning against them as far as that that Matthew Berry fantasy, I don't like him as much as other people do, umbrella. That I have some concerns about the Sixers, and Redick had a good preseason, but, you know, he's a year older. Young players, you know, Ben Simmons' first full year after the Celtics put out the game plan, you know, the blueprint of how to slow him down and where his flaws are now as a young team continues to get older. How many games is Embiid going to play? And I think there's a tendency, we all fall into this, when a team goes 30-10 in the second half of the year, that we go, wow, they're going to win 60 games the next year because, look, they finished 30-10. When history shows, you know, Miami went 30-10 2 years ago,
right,
at the end of the year, and they were, you know, struggling to make the playoffs in the final night. Philadelphia's really good. They're really young. They're really talented. I almost, as far as a lot of noise around Philadelphia and zero noise around Indiana, I'm not, you know, and who knows about Milwaukee. You know, Giannis had a great preseason. I would not lock Philadelphia into that third spot in the East. I think it's going to be pretty competitive.
Sean Grandy along with Cedric Maxwell. You can hear him this Tuesday night as the Celtics season tips off. Can't believe it's already here, Sean, against the 76ers. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock tip. Catch him right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And, Sean, congratulations to you and Dana on the announcement.
I was going to say congratulations to you guys on the show, but I don't know which commitment will last longer. I mean, you never really never really know. Yeah, I say when Gail King outs you on national television, it's a lot of it's about 36 hours spending texting people like, yeah, sorry, you had to hear it.
Oh, man, wow.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
All right, well, Sean, thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you again throughout the season.
You got it, guys.
Thanks,
all right,
Sean.
Take care. Sean Grandy, again, the voice of the Celtics. It's unbelievable, really, that the season's here.
It's pretty cool, though.
Embarrassment of riches with sports right now in the city. As we wrap up the Sports Hub Celtics show for this week, I do want to touch on, it's funny, we haven't even got to the season, and the drama is already bubbling. This Jimmy Butler story and his outbursts in Minnesota at practice as he finally showed up this week. We'll get to that next here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's not get this misunderstood anything. I love the team that I'm on. This has nothing to do with the players that I play with. I know what I'm going to get from Jeff. I know what I'm going to get from Wiggs. I know what I'm going to get from Kat. I know what I'm going to get, and I can bring the best out of each one of those guys.
So what would you say all of this has to do with? If it's not them, what is it? It's that nobody wants to tell the truth. That's what it is. Nobody wants to be honest. When somebody makes a mistake, you look the other way. Not me. If I make a mistake, you tell me. If I gamble, stop gambling. But if I do something that you don't like, tell me. Don't be like, hey, da-da-da-da. Don't talk to me like that. Talk to me like, look, you know you're not supposed to do that. So that's how I talk to people when they do something they're not supposed to do, and it's just like, whoa, he doesn't like that guy. No, it's not the fact that I don't like the guy. That's how I get my point across.
So that's Timberwolves for now. All-star guard Jimmy Butler, who had a sit-down with Rachel Nichols after all the madness that was going on in Minnesota this week. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports. I just wanted to touch on this for a moment, Chris, just because, you know, no league gives you drama and nonsense like the NBA, and we haven't even started the regular season. We have this going on where on Wednesday, Butler reportedly shows up to practice finally, challenging teammates, yelling at front office executives, and Coach Tom Thibodeau apparently said to the general manager, Scott Layden, as he was watching this practice, you effing need me, Scott. You can't win without me. And he's still demanding a trade, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. I don't know. Just I don't think that there's any interest on behalf of the Celtics. I hope that there's not. They have too much of a logjam at that position anyway. But I don't know. Considering his age, it's his last year of a contract. Like, who would be a good fit for him? Should the Celtics be in on Jimmy Butler? Yeah.
No, they're good.
He feels like too much of a headache, this guy.
Yeah, and he's always had some knee issues there. And there's just a lot of miles on him, you know, from the years he's played with Tibbs. And he's a guy that plays hard at both ends, but he also has a ton of minutes on him. And I just think that that's something you have to be aware of. And, you know, this situation in Minnesota, again, I think it's sort of, you know, we were talking off the air a little bit, and maybe this isn't a fair comparison, but I'm going to throw it out there. We were talking off the air a little bit about Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, you were saying sort of you're done with him. And, you know, I don't think he's handled it the right way. I agree with you there. But the things he's saying are not wrong.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing with Jimmy Butler. I don't think he's handling it the right way. But the complaints he has about the organization and his teammates are not wrong.
Yeah, he's not. Well, I agree with you 100%. But just the way that he's going about it, it just, you know what it really does is it proves once again that the NBA, it's a players' league. Like they're
totally.
They run.
Can you imagine a guy going showing up to practice and going out there and saying to Belichick, "You can't bleep and trade me. You need me, Bill." Can you imagine that? What would happen to that guy?
I'm sure Tom Brady would like to do that.
You know what would happen to that guy? They take him down to that hill they run when no one was looking and shoot him in the back of the head. Yeah. That's what would happen
to
that guy.
Buried in that.
Yeah, he'd be buried underneath the Revolution practice field.
Yeah, I just you can't find that kind of stuff. I feel like anywhere else in any other sport than the NBA, where you have the players showing up finally to practice, doesn't want to be there, but he shows up just to show up his teammates, yell at the GM, and say everything. Well, we can work on it, and then you know within 24 hours say no, I still want to be dealt, whether it's Miami or Houston or whatever.
That's where I think he's being disingenuous. Like he's like, oh, I love my teammates.
That's a bunch of crap.
I think part of this is again he's not wrong, but I also think he's when you show up and do that at a practice. Not only are you trying to prove your point, but you're also trying to shoot your way out of town. You're trying to make it so bad that they have to get rid of you.
We have a lot going on locally. Game one, ALCS, Red Sox, Astros tonight. We hope. I mean, is it going to rain all day? We were talking about that earlier out the air, too. Like, if the weather is so bad, what are they going to do? Can they bump Sunday's
I saw on the Globe website that it's supposed to clear up for them to get the game.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. But we get that tonight. We got Patriots, Chiefs tomorrow. A lot to get to in the final hour of Gaspar Murray, which starts right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Joe Murray on 98.5 of Sports Hub.